also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Priestly prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed the evening before his crucifixion. It's called his farewell discourse, and was prayed after the Last Supper had taken place. The 11 disciples were there. Judas had already betrayed Jesus, or was in the process of, he had left to betray him, and that would happen later on this night. He was praying for his disciples. He was praying for each and every believer. He was praying for all of us. And he was praying for you. And that's where this sermon, where the title of this sermon comes from. One, because when he was praying it, he was thinking about each and every one of us. Let's get into the passage. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus starts out by saying he isn't praying just for the disciples, but also for those who will believe through their word. There is no belief, there is no faith without God's word. Jesus is the word. John tells us in the very first verse of his gospel, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That word is Jesus. Jesus and the word inseparable. The word we preach here every Sunday is Jesus. You know, it's amazing to me that Jesus, in all the pain and all the distress, must have been feeling, because he knew what was coming. He knew everything that was going to happen. But even through all that, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about his disciples. He was thinking about you. We are all one in him. Why did Jesus do all this? What's the purpose? Redemptive work for us here on earth. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So much here in this passage. Let me try loosening that up a little bit. Maybe that'll calm it down. We don't have time, unfortunately, to get everything that's in this one verse. But let's see what applies to us for now. We are to be one with each other. There are so many different Christian denominations. And there are legitimate reasons why we can't be in full fellowship with them due to doctrinal differences. But that doesn't mean we can't work together on some things. I hope we can get to the point where we see more of this in the future. But the animosity we experience in our society today has become so toxic. We've become a people who require complete agreement on everything, or there's no way. We reject them completely. It's sad, destructive, and it's counter to the gospel. And I also place to set this. About something like this.
little too high. Can you hear me? Okay. But this kind of culture, where you have to accept everything everyone does, says, and believes, or you're rejected, is very toxic, and I believe it's sinful. This kind of sin shows the world we can't even get along with each other. And if we can't do that, how in the heck are sinners going to believe that we can get along with them? They won't. People, we are the representatives of Christ here on earth. We need to show unity with others in faith and be there to model, to love, to show patience and acceptance, not intolerance and bigotry. Choose love. No one comes into God's family with holiness. Faith transforms. Faith changes us. Give God the opportunity to change them. Love them and let God love them and change them. He will initiate the change as they grow in faith. Just as He has loved each and every one of us through all of our sins, changing us and continuing to push us to be more like Him. After all, we are one in Him. Our passage continues. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So, what is the glory that God has given to Jesus? Well, it's not the glory of the Godhead, because Christ already had that. It's the humility and service, the gift of His human side. Because like I said, the Godhead was already full of glory. Jesus was humble. He was a servant to all. He washed His disciples' feet. He fed the multitudes. He forgave sinners, some of whom were horrible by human standards, adulterers, thieves, tax collectors, Roman soldiers who weren't even Jewish, so they weren't clean. They weren't even the people He was sent to first. But all who sought repentance were forgiven. It didn't matter who you were or what your sins were. Seek repentance and you're forgiven. There is no sin you've committed, nothing that you have done, that God's grace can't absolve you of. And when He does that, as Psalm 103 tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. Do you have any idea how far the east is from the west? It's further than Shanghai. It's further than Mongolia. It's further than the outer edges of the Milky Way galaxy. Paul tells us in Hebrews, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." No, God is not getting old and getting Alzheimer's and forgetting. He's making a conscious choice. When your sins are forgiven, He chooses to remember them no more. That's how far away they are from us and God. No matter how much the devil accuses us, no matter how much the world berates us, or even our old Adam, how much that part of us derides us, your Father in heaven makes a choice to remember your sins no more. How incredible is that? God sees you just as He sees Christ. Clean, pure, and holy. Set aside for Him. And as a sinner myself, conceived in sin, born sinful and clean, I take great comfort in that. Hope you do as well. Our text this morning concludes, "I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me." So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. This final verse brings everything together. Christ is in us, lives inside us, binding us to Him. Christ and the Father are one, binding us to Him. And I know that we can trust that the Spirit is included in this. We are one with the Godhead. We are one with the Holy Trinity. That just boggles my mind, to know that God considers us a part of Him. The fact that God would even want to have anything to do with me, a sinful, imperfect human, boggles my mind. But that He would go so far as to die a miserable death for me, not going to lie, it's incomprehensible. And I certainly don't deserve it. But that's the gift of grace, undeserved love. But why does He do this? Why does this oneness even exist? So that the world may know that You sent me and loved them, even as You loved me. God does this so that others will know that the world, unsaved, when you see the world, that means the unsaved, know that Jesus came from God to save them from their sins, because God loves them despite their sin. Just as He loves you and me despite our sins, and their sin is thrown as far as the east is from the west. And that's how far God throws theirs. People, we are the reflection of God, the representative of Christ to the world. And who knows, you may be the only reflection of Christ that some people ever see. That's why getting the message out, being witnesses, which is just telling what you know, is so important, especially in times like these. With the recent school shooting in Texas and mass murders in several states from New York to California just in the last month, people need to hear the gospel. Yes, I will reject you, but it's not about you. But what we're doing is planting seeds. You may never see anything grow from the seeds you plant, but someone else comes along and plants more seeds. And somebody else comes along and waters all the seeds. And faith can spring up in those who are spiritually dead. Be a witness. Be a farmer and plant seeds. Water the seeds others have planted. And let God encourage those seeds to grow into full faith. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.